Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Everything remains different. I traveled to the IAA, the Internationale Automobilausstellung, the International Auto Show, at Munich yesterday, the IAA Mobility 2021, and I feel free to make a podcast episode here to let you know about my thoughts, about what I saw, and how I see the future of this event. Everything new? Yes, of course, everything new. And the question up front for me was, is this really an overarching event covering past and future and present of the automotive industry, of the developments that we have? Or, will we end up with a neither fish nor flesh kind of event? And at the end, I will tell you my thoughts about this one. The automotive industry is facing significant changes, and that's totally obvious. We talk about things like the electrification of the drivetrain. We talk about things like connectivity, like automated autonomous driving, about new forms of mobility. This could be shared vehicles, shared travels, but also new mobility devices by means of micromobility, all these scooters. And so these changes are obvious, they are ongoing, and this show, the IAA 2021, which was renamed to IAA Mobility 2021, should reflect that, should include all these changes and present them. Let's take a look 2 years back. That was the last traditional IAA in the format we had known this since, I don't know, when was the first IAA? Mid-50s or something? So it was the last traditional one. It was located at Frankfurt. And I made the pretty short-term decision on traveling there. And I checked my usual internet portal for hotel rooms, and I expected that I may find a dirty little, very, very expensive hotel room somewhere far away from Frankfurt, somewhere on the countryside. And to my surprise, I found a hotel room in the Bahnhofsviertel of Frankfurt, which is a little, doubtful area around the main train station in Frankfurt, and 20 walking minutes away from the IAA, from the exhibition grounds, to a very reasonable price. I mean, it was a three stars hotel for, I don't know, 80, 90 euros per night. So totally okay. And that was the very first indicator that I realized that the International Auto Show is not as attractive as it had been before. And so at the end of the day, it turned out true. There was hardly anything going on. The show was empty. It was boring. There was, nothing really cool to see. And right after the show, the discussions about a relocation and changes in the concept began. So the first idea was bringing it to Berlin and having an overarching concept, integrating all of Berlin downtown, to show modern, new, different mobility concepts. And Well, at the end of the day, it moved to Munich, and it had this new concept. So there was the Münchenring Messe, the exhibition ground on the outskirts of Munich, and there was then an underground line and also the so-called blue line connecting this exhibition ground with the downtown area. And some of the bigger companies had their exhibits not in the exhibition ground, but in the downtown area. And the mobility between these two places, that was provided by either the underground train or by autonomous cars and electric scooters. And so really allowing people to use these new modes of mobility. All right, let's have a closer look, first of all, at the more formal side. From my point of view, Munich is the far better location compared to Frankfurt. The Messe München, the exhibition grounds, is comparably new. It is very efficient, and it has very short distances. So when you drove to Frankfurt, there was an extra separate exit of from the Autobahn, and that took you to a huge lawn where you had to park your car. And when it was bad weather, when it was rainy, it was muddy. You had to walk through the water there, and so it was not very convenient. And then somewhere on the edge of this huge lawn, there was a bus station. And then you had to squeeze yourself into some bus and were transported to the exhibition grounds. And there again, you had long lines, crowds of people waiting for something to get in, to get their tickets, to whatever. And that is totally different in Munich. I mean, the parking lots are close to the entrance. Of course, it was a few minutes walk, but it was a few minutes walk instead of a few minutes walk plus bus plus waiting. So far more efficient, shorter distances, and I really liked it. I mean, I had known this exhibition ground from other exhibitions, but yeah, it works very well. Then they had this new concept, the blue line connecting the Münchenriem area with the downtown area. So we had several locations. And that was this overarching concept and showing that mobility is not stable, not something that is in an exhibition hall, but it takes you around. And connected to this, there are two points that I really did not like. The first one is there was hardly any information available on how to use this blue line, on how to do this. I mean, I saw one poster in the entire exhibition ground, and you had to more or less search for it to find it, telling you, okay, take this way, walk down this aisle, and then you will go to entrance east, and there you will find this and this and this and that. So it was totally unclear. It was not communicated to the people where to go, how to do this, and how to come back, and so there was no communication about this one. And the second one was the unclear ticket policy that they had. So I purchased the experience ticket, and that one was only for the public part of the show, which was only one hall with old-timer cars and with bicycles, and to use this blue lane. But the core thing, the core technology parts, that was only accessible with a professional ticket. And this had not been clear before. This had not been clear on the show. And I think there is a lot of room for improvement as far as communication is concerned. I then purchased on-site a professional ticket. And that was €150, which is about three times as much as I had paid for a professional ticket in Frankfurt 2 years ago. And it sounds like a lot of money, and of course it's not a cheap thing, but it has the big advantage that only people that are really interested, that have a professional background, that have a professional interest in the show, that they get onto the show floor. And all these, let's say, car watching amateurs, people that just come in and want to see, hey, is there a new car for me? And they are kept away by this price, which leads to the fact that it is never really full. You don't have this phenomenon that you're pressed by the masses through the booths and through the hallways, but that there is a lot of space and it's a pretty relaxed feeling, and you can talk to the people. You do not have to wait for someone to have a discussion with and to find out what is behind a certain new company you may see. And so I found this very convenient, and I think this is the right way to go. Make these professional tickets comparably expensive and give us professionals the chance to get into a real exchange with the companies we want to talk to. Give us the chance to watch the things we want to watch. And as far as I know, they will open all these halls for the experience for the cheaper tickets on the last 2 days of the show. So the public also gets a chance to see all these things. And I don't want to exclude them, but I just want to have a professional environment that helps me to do my job. And the last thing from the formal part is that there is less bling. There's, not these big shows and laser shows and music and rolling out a car that has maybe a new leather trim and a new painting. But it is far more technology oriented. So really core technologies for driving, everything that is on autonomous driving, on automated driving, and the sensors and all these things, that is far more in a focus now, opposed to, let's put it this way, just another new car. All right, about the general trends that I see. First thing, electrification is there. So we are having these electric drivetrains, and it seems like we're having the battery electric drivetrains that seems to be set for the future at the moment. And I really didn't count, but I think there was not one single combustion engine only car, and maybe 10% of the cars had a hybrid, plug-in hybrid solution. So roughly around 90% of all vehicles I have seen were fully electric and battery electric. With all the advantages and disadvantages the electrification has, I'm particularly skeptical about the battery. I mean, components that you need to use, that you need to build a battery, they're pretty dirty stuff. And it's also what is about the end of lifetime. And we still have the issues of comparably long charging times. And so I personally don't know whether battery electric is the best possible solution, but it is the most probable solution that we see out there at the moment. Second trend is micromobility. So this means mobility beyond the car. So small vehicles, mini cars, or even bicycle, electrical bicycles, cargo bicycles. All that took a very large part of the show and was communicated clearly. So just a couple of things. The Microlino, for example, is one car, one of these super small cars. The Transformer is a one-seater, a small one-seater from Israel. Renault has a subsidiary called Mobilize, which is something that I really like. I mean, this Mobilize brand was established to build super small cars for professional use. So they have a focus on professional cars. And for many of the very small cars they had there, they used the Twizy platform, which is on the market. It is a vehicle you can buy. It's a four-wheeler, fully electric, battery electric, with two seats in a row, not side by side, but one seat behind the other one. And it is registered as a quad. So it fulfills the formal things you need to have for a quad. So for example, it's open. You cannot close the windows. It is not having an air condition, no HVAC. But they're using this platform at Mobilize and built these super small cars. And those are really cars. I mean, they have windows and they have HVACs. And so they are cars, and then they will be registered as cars. And you need to have a car driver's license to drive them. But they will be cars, but very small ones with the little cargo platforms on the back and for deliveries in an urban areas. And so for me, this makes very much sense. Besides the fact that the booth of Mobilize was one of my favorite ones with all these orange lines on the floor. And so, yeah, I really like this one. Another one is the ACM City one, also a small car. That looks like a, maybe you know them, the Remova suitcases, the aluminium suitcases. That looks like that. It has an exchangeable battery pack, and also a very nice car. XEV looks like a Smart a bit. Also a company providing micro cars, very small cars. And as an add-on to this, I saw many platforms, skateboards, as we call them, for electric mobility. And maybe I'm having a bit of a distorted view because I'm discussing with one of my clients of applying one of these platforms, and we are searching for one of these platforms. And so maybe I have a distorted view, but I found a surprising high number of these platforms there. And all of them are meant as offers to startup companies, new car companies, new OEMs, new manufacturers that want to build new vehicle concepts on these electric platforms. And they all contain a battery pack, which is usually laying flat as a floor. And then you have the electric drivetrain, you have the steering, braking, you have the tires, the suspension. So it's basically a driving platform that you have there. One supplier I had not been aware of is Schaeffler. They're having that one. Bosch Benteler, I had known that before. They showed one of these platforms. And then there was a super exciting startup out of Munich called Deep Drive. They're a spin-off from the Technical University of Munich, and they're also providing one this, and they have in wheel engines that drive this platform. And yeah, it looks pretty cool, and it seems like there's a lot of activity in there. A German company called Hirschvogel has a traditional automotive supplier for more or less mechanical parts, but they expand their business into electric mobility as well with a very small electric platform. And they plan to use this for urban transport. And they're selling this. So if you want to have a small autonomous delivery car for an industrial area or for a downtown area or for maybe for a shopping mall, I think those are the use cases that they see to use with to be covered with this platform. Another trend I saw is many vehicles made of recycled materials. So just to name two, one is the BMW iVision Circular. This is a car made with components that are recycled out of plastic. And then there was a cargo bicycle, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember the name of the company showing it, but it looked like made out of cardboard boxes. So they had this brownish, grayish cover or paint. I don't think it's a paint. It's the material itself that has this color. And they were showing that one as an alternative for local cargo distribution. And whenever there is a trend, there is also a counter trend. There were many of these large, huge vehicles shown. So maybe the most obvious example is the Audi Grand Sphere, and that is supposed to show the next generation of the Audi A8. And I mean, I really like this car. It's a beautiful shape and has a unique style and it looks pretty cool. And the thing I like most about the Grand Sphere is that they show a solution where I believe that could go into series to flip away the steering wheel and move the displays depending on the drive mode. So you have one drive mode with the steering wheel, the manual drive mode, and then if you go to level 4 automated driving, then they flip away the steering wheel and they move around the display so that you give that you get a different atmosphere in the car, that you get a different user experience inside the car. But it is huge. It's a huge car. Same for the Mercedes EQS and EQE. Sister models of the S-Class and the E-Class of Mercedes, fully electric. Beautiful cars, yes, but still huge. The same goes for the BMW iX, the Volkswagen Arteon, the Polestar cars. So basically traditional cars, and I think there will be a market for cars like this. People will be asking for more or less big cars, for traditional car shapes, car concepts, but with a fully electric, with a battery electric drivetrain. So they were also shown, and these two trends were so obvious. So these small vehicles and the micro-mobility vehicles on one side, and these very big show cars are, in case of the Mercedes and the BMW and the Polestars, series of vehicles that are still pretty big pieces. What I also found is that there are fewer people movers. And with people movers, I mean these cars that, maybe are 2 meters high and 2 meters width and 5 meters long, and you can squeeze people in there, and then more or less automated or even autonomously, they're moved around from different places on fairgrounds and shopping malls and wherever. And at the CES in 2019, 2020, also at the IAA 2019, there were many of these concepts. And everybody showed them. I mean, I found them super, super unsexy. You transport empty room, which makes sense in real life, but is not a very sexy show car. And there have been fewer of them, 2-3 maybe on the entire show that I have seen. And either they have become reality, they're already out there on the road, or the OEMs or the suppliers, the show car makers have realized this is not the best way of showing technology by putting it in some kind of microbus or whatever. Then one thing I found out is that there are still Chinese OEMs that are copycats, that are really copying styles. I mean, most of them not. And I have seen the cars of Wei, for example. Wei will come to Europe with these cars, and they have a unique and I find pretty cool styling. I really like it. But there was one company, for example, called GWM Aura, and they stole from Mini, from the Porsche Panamera, they stole from Bentley. And I mean, that was so obvious, and I thought these times are over. But there are still Chinese OEMs that, and I mean, yes, I have Chinese clients, and I know that benchmarking, looking for the best in class, looking for what is possible, is deeply inherent in the Chinese culture, and it is okay, and I'm doing this as well. I'm looking around who's the best in class. But then at the end of the day, I believe that one should have a unique styling, a differentiator to the others, and not just mixing up this and this and putting a little bit of that into it, and believing that you have an own styling and an own car. Technology comes into the foreground. So electric drivetrains are no longer a trend. They are reality. They are there. But there are others like driver monitoring systems, for example. Many different companies, different technologies that they use, but Driver monitoring will be critical in future cars, particularly if we move on with the automation of vehicles. So if a car takes over more and more parts of the driving task, and we release that from the driver, we will have problems with the vigilance, with the attention, the long-lasting attention of the drivers. And so at the end of the day, we need to control them. And I see some legislative activities, particularly in Europe, that we will have them pretty soon in cars. Other technology things were sensors, lidars, infrared sensors, automated driving related technology, artificial intelligence related technologies. And then one thing that I really liked a lot, which is not as much high tech as the others I just mentioned, but some of you may have flown with a Dreamliner, with the Boeing 787, and realized that they do not have these shaky little sunshades anymore that you can flip up and down. And short before landing, the flight attendant comes in and said, yeah, open all your shades so that blah, 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 blah. No, they have a little sensor there, and then you can darken the glass of the window. And so then with the fingertip, you slide it to the left or the right, and then you can darken the window. And short before landing, the captain or the flight attendants, they move these one to fully bright so that you can look through this, and nobody can get around this one. And the company Gentex, basically I had known them as a digital rearview mirror company, but Gentex is providing that one to Airbus and to Boeing at the moment, but they will also bring that to cars. And I'm discussing with many of my clients things like, these privacy spaces, the car as a third space, how can we use this one in different contexts? And one thing is, how can we darken the windows? How can we create this capsule in the vehicle to have the inhabitants, to have the passengers protected from the outside world? And if that technology will be available in a short time frame, I think there will be a pretty open market for that one. Another trend is Back to the Future. So we had a few retro-influenced vehicles. Just to mention two of them. One is the Microlino, which copies the Isetta Kabinenroller, which was a popular car in Germany in the 50s. It's a two-seater, two seats side by side. It has a door that is the entire front of the car. So the engine is in the rear, and then you can open the entire front of the car. So it's super tiny. It's more like a scooter, a cabin scooter that you have. And they take this concept, and it's not that they copy it. I mean, they copy it. It's not that they are influenced by this. But it's okay-ish. You know, it's a cool idea to revitalize that idea. And so they're having that with an electric engine and nice little thing. And the other one I really like was the retro version of the Renault R5. I mean, the R5 is a legendary car for boring old people like I am. And when I was young, you know, in those times in the early 80s and the late 70s, the R5 was a legend. And there were race versions of that. And that car is back. So it's an electric version, and it's also pretty much of a retro styling, but that is cool. And one last thing that I saw on the IAA mobility in Munich, that there are more stages and later larger presentation areas. I mean, being a keynote speaker, this might be more in my focus than in other people's focus, but in the old IAA, these live presentations, they were always be a bit on the side and just like for something for people who are really interested in something, but not something for everyone. And I found that there were more stages and larger listening areas, larger public areas, audience areas, and they were all pretty well filled. So when there was a presentation, at least 50-60% of the seats were filled. And of course, some of these presentations were held online. So you had these blurry internet conference tool pictures enlarged on huge screens, and you had somebody sitting somewhere in his or her living room or his or her office and making a presentation or participating in a discussion. But it was possible. And I mean, this remote thing is the sign of the times. We're having this at the moment. I hope it will go away, because I like real speakers on real stages. But at the end of the day, there was more stages and more presentation areas than before. My three personal highlights of the International Auto Show 2021 in Munich. It was pretty difficult to select three. It was very hard for me, because it's not because there were none, there was nothing really exciting there, but it was all on somehow, let's say, constant medium high level, all these things, but not really trendsetters and exciting things. But I will try it, and I have selected three for you. And the first one is definitely a no-brainer. That is for me the number one outstanding concept, the number one outstanding exhibit there. And it is a client of mine, and he is like a good old friend of mine. It's Frank Rinderknecht of Rinspeed. And Rinspeed used to show super crazy concepts and faraway concepts with super crazy technologies. And I mean, the most obvious example is the diving car that they had 10, 12 years ago. And so that was crazy stuff. And this year's exhibit is totally different from that. And I think this, for me, is the reason why I believe that this is so exciting. And Rinspeed showed, based on an electric Fiat Ducato platform, a transportation system. It's a flexible container system that you have. And he created a complete ecosystem around it with trays and tablets where you can transport these containers around. And they're basically for postal services, for food deliveries, whatever. And it's very easy to move them in and outside the car. So it's targeting into that direction. And it's not autonomous like all the other concept cars you had shown, but there's a driver in there for basically two reasons. One is that you need a person to make a final delivery anyway. And the second reason is that Frank and I, we agree on this one, that fully autonomous driving on real roads in unknown areas is still a few years, at least a few years away. And so there's a driver in there. There's a driver's seat. There's a driver workplace in there. Very well designed. And then there is this container system in the back, which is the real innovation. And I'm going to make a little spoiler here. He's planning to build a small series of these cars. And he has already partners that will use them in daily business. And give him feedback. And so this is far more realistic than the diving cars, but still has this unique Rinspeed inspiration and being different from anyone else. So this for me is definitely the top highlight of the show. The second one is the HMI concepts, the human machine interface concepts. Daimler was showing in the Mercedes cars. So they're having the Hyperscreen, which is more than a concept. So you can get this in the EQE and the EQS. And whether it really makes sense to have such big touch surfaces in a car. But they have the balls. They dare to do something different. And this is what I like about this one. And they also showed the Avatar car they presented at Las Vegas 2020 at the CES for the first time. And there again is a different HMI concept, which targets towards the hyperscreen concept with enormous amounts of interaction surfaces and new interaction devices. And again, here, they dare to do it. And this is what I really like about them. I mean, I still know Mercedes as a comparably conservative brand, but under some aspects, in particular in these HMI areas, they are making big steps forward. They are moving things really into the future. And the third highlight is a people mover that was presented by Mobis, the Korean supplier company. And that one was one of these typical people movers I talked about earlier, but it had a, has a high interior flexibility. So there were four working spaces in that, and then they could be flipped into regular seats. And then they had what I call the digital campfire inside the car, which is a pole, and that had illuminated lines into the floor. And on the pole, there were screens as interaction devices, and then you could do things with that. So, like, I mean, we're all Stone Age hunters and collectors from a genetic point of view. And we like to sit around campfires and talk and communicate. And I'm there picking that one up. And I had a client 5 years ago where we developed exactly a concept like that one. And for me, it was a bit surprising, but also positive to see this concept that I developed 5 years ago in a Mobis show car on the International Auto Exhibition. All right, let's go down to the conclusion. The Munich IAA was clearly better, far better than the last IAA that I saw at Frankfurt. So a change of the location, the change of the concept that really, really pays off. There is still some need for improvement, particularly in communication, both in advance so that you know up front what to expect, how to do this, how to do the things, but also on site to make it clearer. Okay, guys, here is the start of the blue line. Go down there and then there is a bus. And this is the way on how to come back if you've parked your car here. And there was only a low information on that one, and that clearly needs improvement. And the exhibition is stuck somehow between yesterday and tomorrow. And this is the neither fish nor flesh thing. And at the end of the day, I think it's a good sign. This is how I saw the upfront. I thought, maybe a bit dry, but no. The automotive industry understands the new targets. This, for me, is the message. There's still somehow the old automotive industry, but they understand the new targets, the new challenges that come from politics, from public, from humanity, but also from themselves. And so at the end of the day, I think this was a transition show between the old times and the new times. And the IAA 2021, the IAA Mobility, did a very, very good job in showing this transition between yesterday and tomorrow. And so I really liked it. I'm looking forward to the next show, wherever it will be, whatever it will be, and whatever will be shown there. So nobody knows it as of today. But I think they are in a pretty good way, and I think that will be exciting to see, and you will see me there. So if you liked this podcast, if you were able to take something with you, if you learned something, why not recommending it to someone else in your network? So recommend it to one other person, so we have a growing audience. And the more people listen to the podcast, the higher it will be ranked, the more people will find it on the respective platforms. And again, more people have the chance to take something away from here, to learn something, to be inspired and to change their minds. And this is the reason why I am doing this podcast. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.